Welcome to the Surviving Grief Podcast, hosted by our grief ministry leaders at Crossroads Church. We'll be sitting down with friends as they share their powerful stories of loss and healing, and we'll hear from grief professionals and other wise people with useful tools for our own time of grief. If you're supporting someone who's grieving, you'll learn how to comfort them and walk with them on their own path to healing. Let's join the conversation.
Welcome to another episode of Surviving Grief. My name is Megs Gelfgott.
And I'm Kelly Mayer, and we're grief group leaders.
And today, this is going to be our final episode of this book study. We are going through Claire Bidwell Smith's book, Anxiety, The Missing Stage of Grief, A Revolutionary Approach to Understanding and Healing the Impact of Loss. And if you didn't get all that, it's in the show notes below. You can just click on through. And so today, in our third episode, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to kind of recap what we've covered.
Yep.
And then we're going to talk about how do you move forward.
Right? Exactly. So we're not going to put a bow on it, but we're going to bring it to a landing place.
Yes. And as we mentioned in earlier episodes, this is not a Christian book. This is kind of just from her clinical perspective and her research and the people that she's worked with through anxiety and grief. And Kelly and I are really filtering this information and her tools through the lens of a biblical perspective, right? How do you invite God into the process?
Yeah, this book was really impactful to me about 18 months ago, probably. I was experiencing really strong anxiety and I could not figure out what it was. And I honestly don't even know how the book came across my context. I don't know if I saw it online. I don't even know. But I knew that I had to get it. I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to get it. And as I read it, the Lord put revelation on it for me. And I came to realize, oh, the anxiety is tied to grief. I had never connected those two concepts before. Now it seems like a very much of an obvious thing, but it's not. When you're going through anxiety and you're trying to find the root, we look for all different things, but sometimes we don't connect it to grief. And my grief was older grief. It wasn't recent. And so that made it even more confusing and it made the revelation even more powerful.
Absolutely. And, you know, in her kind of the bulk of the book, she's helping us understand what is anxiety? How does it show up? What are the physical and cognitive and behavioral symptoms? So these are all just great in building awareness around what it looks like. I mean, I was so naive to what anxiety was because I just hadn't experienced it prior to the loss of my sister. And so, you know, the book just does a really good job in not only educating you, but then bringing in tools to get perspective on how anxiety shows up, especially when we're grieving, and then what to do about it, right? How to find a bit of peace in the process.
Yeah. And normalizing. That was one of the most profound revelations, was that it's so normal. Of course we're going to have fear when we lose one of the most important people in our lives. Everything in our circumstances changes. And so it's logical. And just having that thought of, oh, this is logical, it started to eliminate a lot of the mystery and the out of control feeling, and the that normalization period was really real. That whole idea was so, so powerful. And so we just want you to find peace in that, that if you are anxious because of grief, that's normal. It's very uncomfortable. There is nothing fun about it. There's nothing good. I'm not going to say there's nothing good about it, because there is, and that's what we're going to talk about. But it is very, very uncomfortable. It's a very profound time to be shaken, because that's really how you feel when you're anxious. You feel shaken. Mm-hmm. And we know that we serve a God who likes to shake things up, and he does it for our good. He works things together for our good, but it's not always comfortable. And so if you're new in your faith, just want to encourage you that this may be a time where God's really growing you, and that where we feel like he's really distant is actually the time he's the closest. He's just not doing things in the way that we would typically think about something being worked for our good. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the kingdom principle, that things in the kingdom of God are very, very, very different than in the natural world.
Yep. In the previous two episodes, so we covered the general framework for understanding kind of the functional concepts of anxiety. In the last episode, how our brain is affected, some physiological tools like deep breathing that we can use in the moment. And also as believers, we have access to the ultimate source of healing, right? There's all of these little hacks and all these physiological hacks that can help benefit you in the moment. But let's not forget about the big guy who's like the ultimate healer and the ultimate resource. You don't have to have magic words and special words, and they can be this unpolished kind of rawness that we bring to God of like, I need help. Mm-hmm. I am struggling. And the word of God and the truth and the power of scripture, we have access to all of those things. And so we want to make sure that we're keeping that central, that, you know, she does such a great job of giving tools and suggestions and tips. And yet kind of atop all of those things, it's understanding that we have power in the Lord. Mm-hmm. We just need to ask.
Yeah. And he's sovereign over all of our circumstances. And so one of our key, we're going to deep dive into two verses today. And the first one is Romans 12:2 that says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the hope and the power in that verse when you are grieving can be kind of hard to get literally your mind around, because anxiety could be affecting your thoughts so intensely. But it is life-changing. The truth and the power contained inside that verse has healing power to it. So what that looks like in real terms is that when we conform to the patterns of grief in the natural world, that means culturally rushing through it and numbing ourselves and avoiding it. That's what the pattern of the world, unfortunately and sadly, and what we're trying to do in this ministry to come against that pattern, is that behavior. Like, people don't know what to do with us when we're grieving, so we tend to like avoid our own feelings, avoid situations where we have to deal with our grief. And a kingdom choice is the opposite of that. It's pressing in to the emotions and the pain. That's what David does, right? All throughout the whole book of Psalms. And again, if you're new to your faith, we highly encourage you to just get started in somewhere. And hopefully this verse is a place that you can go to. Mature believers, you're well aware of the power of the Psalms and David crying out to the Lord. And he was a nonconformist, right? He would dance with praise, embarrassing himself, and in his grief and in his agony, cry out to the Lord. There was no stuffing it and no rushing it with David. And God refers to him as a man after my own heart. And so we can see that this is the kingdom pattern, right? Not the pattern of the world, but the kingdom pattern. And when we start to just get that second in our thinking where we move from reacting to observing, is one of the most powerful transformations we can make in the physiological part of our mind. Because what we're doing when we're conforming to the patterns of the world is falling into a neural pathway rut. Old thinking, old patterns. I just do this. This is who I am. Meg's talked a lot in the previous episode about defining ourselves as, oh, that's my anxiety. We don't ever want to put that on ourselves, because we want to walk in kingdom power and kingdom healing. And so not conforming to the patterns of this world and instead making a kingdom choice means processing those emotions, all of them, and assuming a position of surrender. Conforming to the patterns of the world is trying to control, right? We're trying to control our emotions. We're trying to control other people's reactions. Control, control, control. And anxiety is a big wake-up call that says, you can't. You can't control it. The deep fear that you're feeling is overriding your control systems. And so just surrendering and with open hands to the power of what God can do is amazing, because anxiety will wake you up. You are no longer numb. Mm-hmm. You are very heightened in your awareness. But in that time, that's the perfect opportunity to let God in and let him start working.
Mm-hmm. And I fell into the numb category. I know if you were to ask me, I would have thought I am dealing with this. And I had my, you know, my 6 to 8 weeks and it was really hard, but you pick up the pieces and you just keep it moving. But I stopped referring to my sister by name. I stopped saying Susanna. I would just refer to her as my sister. And these were subtle, kind of unconscious things that I did to kind of keep my grief in a closet, not have to deal with that, you know, started maybe drinking a little bit more. And it was, you know, for me, drinking never really became a problem, but it was heavily masking, you know, what was behind that closet door that was trying to, you know, peek out that I couldn't deal with. And grief, it's going, you will feel the effects. It's just, are you going to face them or not? And as someone who went through a period of not facing them, let me tell you, friends, it is a lot harder. It's all hard, but I feel like I really existed in a state longer than I needed to of difficulty, of hurt and of pain than if I would have faced it head on. And I think that the lie that the world tells us is that when you face things head on, they'll drown you. They'll be too much. There was a depth that came and a maturing that came in my faith because I came to the end of myself. And I'm actually really grateful for that season because God meets us when we're in that rock bottom. And that's where anxiety and some of these kind of the disheartened illusions of grief took me.
Amen. I agree. I did not grieve my father for 35 years. It was all in there. All of the emotion, all of the disconnected thoughts, all of the pain, all of the hurt, it was all in there. And it was stuffed down, packed in, forgotten, no label on the box until I joined the grief group and understood. And God just cracked it wide open. He just brought forward all the emotions. And that's when I started to experience a lot of the anxiety that that brought me to finding this book. And but it was very sweet. And we're going to talk about some of the sweetness of what can happen in this time, because it is it's a time and a season with God of being hyper aware, maybe even more aware of our inner world than we may have ever been, based on the depth of our loss and the depth of our, you know, our circumstances. So got a couple of big ideas about how God can renew our minds through the time of anxiety. We've talked about the tools, and so we want to give you some encouragement as you maybe begin to put these tools into place or shift your mind into thinking about the anxiety attached to grief a little bit differently. So big idea number one is that during this time, our love for our person, our lost loved one, can be transformed. And it feels like a lot of times after a loss, God will sanctify our love for the person. And what that means is that it means to be made free of impurities. We might have bitterness. We might have a myth built up about, oh yeah, my dad and I were really close, when really the truth for me is that we weren't, unfortunately. I missed a lot of things for some circumstances that we won't go into, but I missed a lot of connection with him. And I had to grieve that as well as the loss of him, actually. But the truth, Jesus says that the truth will set you free. And so just being able to understand the truth of our relationship. Also, I'm not the same person as I was 35 years ago. I'm different. I've had other losses. I've had other joys. Our family dynamics have changed. So much has changed. But I really do believe that my love for my father has become sanctified by bringing the truth of what was really going on back in that day and around those circumstances. And the way that that really is possible is through the forgiveness that's possible through Jesus. We've never lost the opportunity to make amends with our lost loved one. In fact, in some circumstances, it may have never really been possible on the natural side, or very unlikely due to mental health issues or all kinds of dynamics. But in the state where we are still on this side of heaven and our loved one is not, we have the opportunity through the supernatural forgiveness that's possible through Jesus to make amends with our relationship with that person. We're not making amends with them. We're not reconciling with them. We're making amends and reconciling and releasing forgiveness over our relationship. And so there's a really powerful forgiveness model that we teach in prayer, weekend prayer training, camps prayer training, everywhere we can get it out. And it's very, very simple, but it's very powerful. And so we want to forgive in the name of Jesus. We've all tried a million times to forgive people through our own power, and we can't do it because we are broken, failing human beings. But the power of Jesus living inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit can release the forgiveness when we do it in his name, which means according to his character. Mm-hmm. So the model is in the name of Jesus, and this is out loud. It is out loud. This power of speaking this is unbelievable. In the name of Jesus, I forgive the person for, and then you name each offense. You do not name a collective situation. For example, I would not say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my father for never making an effort to have a strong relationship with me. Because that's too overarching. I would say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my father for the times that I reached out to him for help, and he encouraged me to be independent. Ouch. That's where the hurt is. And that's what I want to get rid of. So I want to be very specific. In fact, I'm going to make it even more specific. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my father for the time my car broke down and I needed his help and he didn't help me. That's the specificity. In fact, I can feel that as I speak it. I can feel the healing liquid balm internally. And so I want to encourage you, if you have a situation in your life where you need to forgive, to try that model.
We've talked about previously that in the manner that we lost our loved one, our relationship with them, that all complicates how we grieve in real time. Suicide. There can be so much anger and guilt that's tied to that. Addiction. It may feel in the moment insurmountable. Kelly and I have worked with hundreds of people, even just here, that it feels like this year. And one thing that I hear a lot on those two fronts, specifically of addiction and overdose, and then suicide, is that the feelings are so raw, especially if for the people here who are left, they had no idea. They had no idea they were struggling from a mental health or an addiction standpoint. And so they don't even feel like they can grieve yet because they're sorting through all of these kind of mixed emotions, and it's a lot. It's giving yourself time to work through those, but then also it's separating that blame piece, I think, that also can, in those instances, can contribute to the anxiety. If I would have just asked more questions, if I would have checked their room more, it puts us in this cyclical state where we can never spin our way out of it. And so sometimes that forgiveness has to be towards yourself. And sometimes that can be even harder. Because especially, you know, in the case of, let's say, a suicide, something that we hear a lot for a parent, some of the quotes that are coming to mind is, it was my job to protect them. I failed them. And that's a lot to take on. That's a big penance to try to carry for the rest of your life.
Yep. And that is our big idea number two, is that as we are not conforming to the patterns of this world, but instead asking God to transform our mind, renew our mind, our love for ourselves can be transformed. And while that may seem very self-oriented, it really isn't, because we are commanded to love our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, to love others as ourselves. And we all know that if we don't love ourselves, we cannot love other people. And so if in our grieving, it previous to our loss, if we were people-pleasing and martyring ourselves for our loved one, if we've been too controlling or too judgmental or this is a time that our love for ourselves can be transformed, especially when we're suffering from anxiety, because everything is real and as raw as it can possibly get. And God is working things together for our good. And one of those good things might be, hey, I really need you to love yourself. I really need the self-loathing to stop. Give yourself some grace, especially in situations, as Meg was talking about, where the death of our loved one had a lot of emotions attached to it, shock and surprise and guilt and shame. And we've done episodes on guilt and shame, which is not from God. We can have regret and we can have sorrow, but guilt and shame are not part of our grieving process. And we can truly forgive ourselves. And we use the same model. In the name of Jesus, I forgive myself for feeling guilty about my brother's suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I forgive myself for the last time we were together, not being kind to him. That's a real one for me. I didn't know what was coming next. And I feel so badly that I wasn't kind to my brother the last time we were together. Did I do anything intentionally to cause him to OD? No. That was a long, that was a 40-year journey. So we have to let things go. And we can change, and I feel like God uses, again, working things together for our good. He can change a long-time issue in this mourning period that we may not even be aware that was an issue, but he can redeem things when we're vulnerable, when we surrender to him, when we have open hands like God. It's Psalm 139. Search me, God. Test my anxious thoughts. And he can bring power and transform our love for ourselves, which is critical to loving other people.
Number three big idea, our love for those who are living can be transformed.
Everyone's more precious now.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like a loss to increase our appreciation for the people in our lives. Everyone just becomes so tender and so precious to us. And people are watching us during grief. I never thought about this before, but after my husband passed away, a friend of mine emailed me something and said, "Hey, I've been noticing that you're handling your grief really well. Would you be able to coach a friend of mine who lost her husband?" And I was taken aback. First of all, I was still in the stuffing and numbing period after my husband's death. So what he was observing was not a genuine walk out of grief. But it did alert me to the fact that people are watching us during our grief, not to put any pressure on ourselves, but just to notice, you know, out of love and concern, people are watching us. And I just was struck by that and what it has turned into, the way God has redeemed it and worked it for my good, is that it's made me aware that our children are watching how we grieve. And we're modeling a lesson for them about how we value people in our family, for example. Like, I don't want to pretend. If I pretend that I'm okay, then what does that say to the living? Does it say, oh gosh, well, if you pass away, then we're not going to talk about you either? It doesn't model well. Many other cultures have much healthier ways of dealing with grief. In Jewish tradition, you know, you sit Shiva for 7 days, and it is an intentional down on the ground, get it all out, and each person is mourned similarly. And what that says is that each life is important. And so there's some things that we can take from that to think about, you know, I don't want to not talk about my person. Mm-hmm. I want to remember them because I want to model grief well. That's for when you're coming out of your mourning period. There's no pressure to do that while you're in it. But one of the ways that we're transformed is that we're modeling for the living how much we love and value them.
We don't have a choice in the grieving process. And you may feel like you have a choice of, I can choose to grieve this or not, I can choose to ignore it or not, but the ripple effects are, you have no control over that. And so, you know, even just the title of this number three of our love for those who are living can be transformed, our bitterness will equally transform us, right? This is a choice for how you are going to grieve, because you're changing one way or another. You may think you have control of that, but you are changing one way or another, and holding on to anger and holding on to bitterness, whether towards other people or yourself, it will make your life difficult and painful in ways that you cannot imagine. Mm-hmm. And I say that from the experience of my own life, but more so the people that I have sat with, the people that I have worked with that are years down the road, and those pains that they held on to, it becomes its own identity. And the transformation in the negative is just, you know, your heart breaks for those people because it's such a painful place to exist and not what God has for us mm-hmm. at all.
It's like being wrapped in barbed wire, mm-hmm. right? People are wanting to comfort. The Lord is wanting to comfort and be soft and be tender. But those prickly barbs are so painful, both for the person wrapped in them and the person trying to approach. And so just softening and letting, you know, it's really, you know, allowing your weakness to be his strength. It, I know that's the scripture. We all know that one. And it is very true that in our weakness, that's where God can be made strong. And that's where people can see, wow, they're not afraid to be vulnerable. Because we're all going to grieve. We're all going to die. Someone is going to grieve us. And so this, one of our missions and one of the purposes of this podcast and the ministry is not only to comfort the grieving, but to educate everyone that grief is a normal part of life. And so the more authentic, the more real, the more surrendered we can be when we just even hear the word grief, it will transform you as a person who's grieving and as one who will comfort people during mm-hmm. their grief.
Yep. And then our fourth on this verse, our love for God can be transformed. Our love for him can be deepened and matured because of that rock bottom, because of that hard place that we find ourselves in. Man, his voice is loud and clear when you're in the desert, right? When you're in the valley, suddenly it's amplified.
Yes, our foundational scripture for this ministry is Psalm 34:18 that says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And the power of the truth of that verse is overwhelming. Many times, again, people flip, they have a feeling the opposite, like, where is God in all of this? And what we like to teach in the grief group is that he's so close to your heart that you can't see him. It's mm-hmm. like you're overlooking him because he comes more near. Mm-hmm. He's always near, but he is very close. And so out of the new intimacy that we can establish when we trust that verse is true and we act out of it, right? I say, God, I believe that you're close. I know you are. I know mm-hmm. you and I know you're close. That in and of itself is going to spark new neural pathways, right? That's going to begin to renew our mind. And out of this new intimacy, you may hear his voice more clearly than you ever have. It is very, very likely that when you sit and you're in a posture of surrender with him and you're asking him to renew your mind, and very, very likely that you will hear his voice more clearly. And we talk in the grief group that a lot of times we're tempted by our human nature to ask the why question. Why did this happen? Why my person? Why weren't they healed? When God really wants us to ask the other questions, the what, the how, the where. For me, after my husband died, it was all about the where. Where are my daughter and I going to live? This house is too big. It's too expensive. Where is she going to go to college? Where? It was all about where. And he literally led me to our next home. I did not find it. He brought it to me. And so by asking those questions out of absolute desperation, he answered. And so that, I'll never forget that as long as I live. That was a milestone in my spiritual growth and my relationship with God. And it renewed my mind. It renewed mm-hmm. my mind about, does God answer our questions? Mm-hmm. Does he really speak and move? Oh, yes, he does.
And if all that encouragement isn't enough, here's some more. We're going to do one more verse. Matthew 6, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted."
Right? And so let's think about that logically, because again, I like to get a little left brain in there. Okay, it means no blessing until we mourn. And that is not about God withholding anything from us. because it's on us. He just wants us in a posture to accept his blessing. And the difference between receiving and accepting, I think, is really, really important when we want to have intimacy with God. For example, if I give you a gift of perfume, right? You can thank me for it and you can put it on a shelf. Okay, great. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Boop, I put it over here. I've received it. But if I make a decision to not only just thank you, but to open it and put it on and to wear it every day and think about you because you've given it to me, I've made a decision about it. I've accepted it, right? Because there's a mental function inside of there. There's a decision made that this is now a part of me. And if we accept the comfort that God promises, he's true to his word. If we accept the comfort that God promises by mourning and acknowledging the anxiety that's connected to grieving, we just take a minute to go through all the breathing techniques, the remembering that it's normal, the anxiety will subside and the comfort will come. And the converse is true. If we do not mourn, we will not be comforted. It is a powerful, biblical, and holy process to mourn someone. So the blessings that come from grieving are really profound.
Absolutely. A deepened, authentic love and appreciation for the lost loved one. You know, I shared that my sister had struggled for, gosh, I think it was at least 7 or 8 years with addiction. And by the time she passed away, she had been sober for about 4 years. But I can remember some of the anger that I worked through and resentment around that period that she had struggled with addiction. And, you know, part of the love that really changed for my sister, and I feel like this was just such a gift from God, was that he brought to mind memories that I had just forgotten. You know, if you have ever dealt with an addict, there are lots of horrible things that happen just in terms of broken relationships. And while, you know, thankfully Earthside, my sister and I had worked through a lot of that in her sobriety, those wounds are still there. And at the time that I was really struggling with, you know, some of that anger towards her from some of the past stuff, I think it was just more a way of trying to like control a situation that I had zero control of, kind of in the grieving paradigm. And God really brought to mind things that I just had forgotten about my sister. You know, her generosity, her humor, her she has just such a charismatic personality that just really roped people in. She could meet people where they were at, and it was just kind of this warmth. And it was only when I went through true grieving, not the initial one that I thought I did, kind of grieving light, but when I did the full experience, you know, that is a gift and a blessing that God bestowed on me in thinking of my relationship with my sister and really just appreciating who she was on this earth and who her legacy continues to be. You know, we are not our mistakes. You know, that biography is not our legacy necessarily. It doesn't have to be our destiny. And I'm just so grateful that even now, speaking of my sister, that I am able to share and appreciate some of those aspects that sometimes get lost.
How powerful is that, to have your memories healed? Mm-hmm. That is the power of God that can happen as we surrender and we authentically grieve. Another blessing that comes from grieving is a deepened appreciation for the people in your life. Everyone becomes more technicolor. Everyone, their quirks begin to be less annoying. Their idiosyncrasies become endearing, right? Mm-hmm. Because you just they're just more tender. I feel like God just puts he puts grieving goggles on you. You just see things differently when you've really taken the time to authentically mourn someone and go through the intimacy with God, that he changes you during this time. Mm-hmm. And one of I truly believe that we have a deeper sense of appreciation for other humans. and even outside the people that are in our immediate context, right? Like just categories of people. I think our sensitivity opens up, our compassion. I think it's the compassion well within us that Jesus counts on us having compassion. Compassion is his superpower, right? Out of compassion, if you read scripture, it's over and over again the same model. And Jesus saw them and he had compassion and he healed them. And so we want to operate in that same kind of kingdom power as our king, right? We have to have compassion to really reflect our God well.
And just as an aside on that, if you are listening to this and you are clenching your jaw and you're like, Kelly, Megs, you don't understand. They were a bad person. They abused me through my life, whether, you know, emotionally or otherwise. There is, I'm not going to think back on anything fond, and I am offended that that's the blessing that God would deliver. And let me just say this, that whatever you have gone through and whatever, you know, I my heart hurts that many of you, that is your experience, that there, you know, we talk about healing and kind of these restoration of relationships, both earth side and kind of as we're thinking about the relationship that we had with our loved one. And the fact of the matter is there are wounds that may feel like they will never be fixed. But remember, healing doesn't always come in the way that we design, right?
And there never comes.
Right? There is, like, God can bring restoration to a broken, shattered situation that it appears there is no fixing that. And so while we're talking about, you know, for me, talking about like these memories that I had of my sisters, you may have someone who struggled with addiction and you're like, they made my life hell, I'm not thinking of anything positive. But don't discount what God can do in you and the situation. You just don't know what it looks like yet.
That's right. It's time. A lot of times it's time. Sometimes it's just through sheer revelation that someone may say to you. For example, a friend of mine who also lost her brother sent me a text the other day, and it released so much healing in me. And basically what she, because I was feeling guilt and shame, going to, you know, wasn't practicing what I preach, and about my last encounter with my brother. And she released a word just by saying, hey, God, I just feel, it was a prompting, like she felt prompted to text me. And what she said was, I feel like God wants you to remember how much you love your brother, that the intensity of the feelings that you're feeling are directly connected to how much you love him. And it, I had to pull over. It shook me to the core, and it was such a reminder of the heavenly kingdom approach to things mm-hmm. that we need to do. So God will do it. He will do it through another person. He'll do it through revelation. He'll do it through his word. He'll hear a song. He will heal these intense feelings and these intense emotions and intense memories. It's an amazing thing mm-hmm. if we're open.
I love that he has such big shoulders and, you know, yell and bring it to him and ask, you know, test him in these things.
Ask him.
That it's just, you know, our God, I think of this, I have a 2-year-old at home, and we, there's this little song that we sing that talks about our God is so big and it's so strong in these things. And even now as an adult, like in when things feel so big and they feel so difficult, it's just like, but God's bigger. He's bigger than these things.
He is. And he wants to constantly deepen the relationship that the two of you have. And so when you think about it through that lens, again, renewing your mind around what he might be up to, it just opens up the possibility. And if you use the forgiveness tool and the forgiveness model, and then you just sit in it and just see what he does mm-hmm. and be open to what he might be saying, it is transformative, the things that he can do. Mm-hmm. And so another blessing that comes from grieving is really a new awareness of yourself and the freedom to explore what's next. We're not done. We are reshaped by grief. We're reshaped by losing an important loved one in our life, but we're not finished. And there is a new story and a new chapter. And it is actually amazing what can come through being open to it and just not allowing grief to define who we are.
Absolutely. And then lastly, just the intimacy with God that is going to be unique and personal and powerful to you and your story and your grief experience.
We would like to pray a blessing over all those listening. In the name of Jesus, we bless you with a renewed mind, that as you do not conform to the patterns of this world in your mourning period, but instead sit with God and ask him to search you and ask him to test your anxious thoughts, show you where he is and what he's doing, that you will receive a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Surviving Grief is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. If you'd like to connect or share your own story, reach out to us at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S at crossroads.net. We'll see you next time.